From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy hump day. That's right. It is Wednesday, a shortened week due to the July 4th holiday. We are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We have 60 minutes of fun in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's Current Sports, we will invite Tori Franklin to the show. Tori is a former Michigan State track and field star who is now competing in the Olympic trials in the triple jump out in Eugene, Oregon. The finals will take place tomorrow. And if she places in the top, she could book a ticket to become an Olympian in Rio de Janeiro. How cool is that? We'll chat with Tori via phone. You don't want to miss that. We will also talk about the Detroit Tigers, who are underway right now, taking on the Cleveland Indians. They fell pretty hard last night, and the Tigers have not beaten the Indians this season. Heck, they are 0-11 against Cleveland. Are you kidding me? We'll talk about the Tigers and give you an update on the final match between the two as we are really on the heels of the All-Star break. Also, have you been checking out the Moneyball Summer Pro-Am? Yeah, Miles Bridges, who will be a Michigan State men's basketball freshie next year, has been putting on a show. We'll give you an update on that, and on the back end of the show, we will talk about Isaiah Thomas reacting to Kevin Durant becoming a Golden State Warrior, and many athletes reacting to just a heinous moment out in Louisiana yesterday. We'll talk about that and so much more. Of course, you can weigh in on anything that we talk about here on WKAR's Current Sports by simply picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with Central Michigan quarterback Cooper Rush, who was named to the Maxwell Award watch list on Tuesday. The award, now in its 80th year, goes to the College Football Play of the Year. Now, Rush is a senior from Charlotte who played quarterback at Lansing Catholic. He was one of 90 players named to the list. He is one of four on the list who represent a Mid-American Conference school. Now, he earned second-team All-MAC honors in 2015, and 2 weeks ago was named to the Athlon Sports All-MAC preseason second-team offense. Rooting for Cooper in his final year at CMU. Looking forward to seeing him on the field once more. All right, Tarian Thompson, the last of ESPN's top 100 recruits from the class of 2016, decided over the weekend that Michigan State was not the place for him. Thompson's mother, Sharice Piper, told Syracuse.com that her son has chosen to play college ball at Syracuse. Michigan State jumped in late to try and land the services of the 6'9", 220-pound forward from New York, who played at Brewster Academy in New Hampshire last year. He visited East Lansing in early June. The most memorable finish ever in the Michigan State-Michigan football rivalry is up for an ESPY. That's right, in the category of best play. Of course, many of you remember when U of M punter Blake O'Neal lined up for a punt with 10 seconds left and U of M up 23-21 last October. He fumbles the snap, gathered the ball briefly, took a hit, and watched the ball squirt into the hands of Michigan State freshie Jalen Watts-Jackson, who took it all the way for the winning 38-yard touchdown as time expired. The ESPYs take place a week from today. Scary story concerning former Michigan quarterback Denard Robinson. According to several published reports, including W5 Fox TV and the Florida Times Union, police found Robinson preparing to enter his fourth season as backup running back with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They found him asleep at the wheel of his Chevy Impala while it's stuck in a retention pond after trying to make a turn too wide on the city's south side around 4:20 a.m. on Sunday. Now, the driver's side door was submerged in the pond, so an officer went to the driver's side where a 29-year-old woman was found also asleep. The officer knocked on the window to wake up the two and to get them out of the car, but had to several times because Robinson and the woman would not wake up. Quote, I should not have been driving that late or when I was that tired. But again, I'm just glad that everyone was safe, said Robinson. Scary stuff there. All right, the Detroit Tigers lost their, count them, 11th straight to the Cleveland Indians yesterday by a score of 12-1. Anibal Sanchez, filling in for injured Jordan Zimmermann, went 4 1/3 innings in the loss. Sanchez is 0-4 with a 10.12 ERA against the Indians this year. He's allowed 21 earned runs in 18 2/3 innings of work. The Indians have outscored the Tigers 77-24 this season. They have not had a winning record against the D since 2013. The Indians now hold a 7.5-game lead in the division, which is its biggest of the year. The Tigers have lost two straight. They came into this series with a 6-game winning streak. And the Tigers and Indians are playing right now in the final game of this 3-game series. They are currently live in the top of the fourth now. And yeah, no surprise here. The Indians have a 2-0 lead. We'll keep you updated on that one throughout this entire hour. All right. Detroit Tiger first baseman Miguel Cabrera, Miggy. He was the lone Tiger named to the American League All-Star team. Cabrera was selected as a reserve this year after missing last year's All-Star game with an injury. This will be Cabrera's 11th selection of the All-Star team in 13 full years. Entering Tuesday night's game against the Indians, he was hitting 300 with 18 homers and 51 RBIs. Second baseman Ian Kinsler could also be in the All-Star game. He is one of five players that will be hoping for the AL's final vote. The Detroit Lions announced yesterday that they had released linebacker Stephen Tulloch. Now, the move is no surprise as a split had already been coming since February, but throughout offseason workouts, he wasn't mentioned. He was also excused from the team's mandatory minicamp. The Detroit Free Press reported Tuesday that Tulloch had offseason surgery and didn't pass a physical until today, which was the reason for the delayed release. The aging Tulloch had over 100 tackles in 4 of his 5 seasons in the D and infamously tore his ACL on national TV, celebrating a sack on Aaron Rodgers. And last but not least, folks, athletes from around the country weighed in on the shooting of Alton Sterling by Baton Rouge police officers on Tuesday morning. This morning, many local athletes have reacted to the shooting on social media, continuing the trend, hashtag Alton Sterling. Local current and former athletes from the Detroit Lions to the Detroit Pistons to the Michigan Wolverines to the Michigan State Spartans all condemned the shooting. Detroit Lion Eric Ebron tweeted this morning, quote, hard to believe we have any hope as citizens of the U.S. This is not freedom nor bravery. This is sad, man. Hashtag Alton Sterling. Detroit Piston Tobias Harris also tweeted, quote, a prayer for peace and love spread around the world. Hashtag Alton Sterling. Such a sad story, folks. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of today's show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also, visit facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start the show. Oh, yeah.
bat. Kipnis on one bounce, goes to second for one.
Yes.
Goes to third. Lindor
yes.
with the throw. Double play. Inning over.
Heads up play by Lindor.
They put together solid at-bats all night long. Short, compact swing. Every mistake that Sanchez made, they capitalized off of it. Even when he did make a mistake and he made a quality pitch, they were still barreling him up. The Tigers starting staff have no answer for this Cleveland offense.
Maybe they'll have an answer tomorrow. Michael Fulmer on the mound in the final game of the series. We'll see you after the game.
Welcome to today's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Yeah, the Tigers need to slow it down a bit, I tell you that, because they certainly cannot take the heat. The Tigers, last night, moved to 0-11 against the Cleveland Indians so far this year. Horrible. Horrid. I'm running out of words to describe just this stretch of baseball against one team. It's really bad. And again, the Tigers are competing against the Indians as we speak. First pitch took place around noon. The Tigers and Indians are going at it in the final game of a three-game set. And boy, oh boy, I must say, there's been a lot of things wrong with this Detroit Tigers team so far this year. But there has been one shining light who I am quickly becoming a huge fan of. His name is Cameron Maben. Right when I started the Headliners, I gave you guys an update on the score. It was a 2-0 lead for the Indians in the top of the fourth. But Cameron Maben has homered to left field, scoring himself and Ian Kinsler. The score is now tied up at 2 apiece in the fourth inning, and Cameron Maben has just been stellar for this squad, despite all of the woes for this team, especially against the Cleveland Indians. Cameron Maben has been lights out. He's right now, in comparison to the rest of the batters in the lineup for the Tigers, he's lights out. He's hitting the best right now at 0.350. So Maben has been lights out, folks. But with the loss last night, and it was a complete romping, a 12-1 loss against the Cleveland Indians. At least that first game was close on July 4th. You know, it was tied at 3, and then the Indians poured it out, getting some timely hits late in that game. A 5-3 loss to Cleveland in game one, but a 12-1 romping last night. Anibal Sanchez, has he struggled or what against the Indians? Last night, Sanchi allowed 7 earned runs on 5 hits in 4 1/3 innings of work. He has allowed 22 runs on 23 hits against Cleveland. That's ugly. So, again, Sanchez, he survived until the fourth, where the hole was so big to try and, you know, for Buck Farmer to try and come in and to help this squad in any way possible. But again, he was relieved by Farmer. He allowed an RBI ground out and an RBI double, which made the score 7-0. And then Mark Lowe comes in. He allowed 2 runs on 4 hits in the 8th inning, including giving up his 10th home run of the season, which is now tied for the most home runs given up by any reliever in baseball right now. Horrible. Carlos Carrasco, gosh, has he just eaten the Tigers up or what? Carrasco limited the Tigers to 1 run on 3 hits over 6 innings. He shut out the Tigers, if you remember, on June 25th and had pitched 14 straight scoreless innings against the Tigers before the 6th inning of last night. And then to make matters worse, Now, I must say, in defense of the Tigers last night, that call against Miguel Cabrera was a complete crime. That was horrible. And it's funny because all the umps, they all corralled and talked about it before issuing the wrong call. Miggy was ejected for the 8th time in his career in the 6th inning after umps completely blew a call when he fouled a pitch off of his left shin. Now, the ball rolled to third base, and after failing to get the lead runner on a force attempt at second, Miggy, who didn't run, was thrown out at first. Video replays confirmed that the ball struck Cabrera, but according to Major League Baseball's stellar replay rules, the play is not reviewable. So you saw him huddle really briefly, and then they said, well, he's out. I couldn't believe that call. But it wouldn't matter anyway. Let's be real here. Wouldn't have mattered anyway, as the Tigers were blown out 12-1. And Miggy is the only Tiger, as I stated, the only Tiger that will be on the All-Star team for the American League once the break hits. And things are getting serious now. I mean, this is when you have to start playing your best baseball around the All-Star break, because everything counts now. But the way the Cleveland Indians have completely owned the Tigers, I really see no hope for the Tigers to have a shot at the American League Central crown. Again, the Indians are 7.5 games in front of the Tigers right now. The Indians sit at 51-32. The way the rest of the division stacks up, the Tigers are in second at 44-40. You have the Kansas City Royals at 43-40. The Chicago White Sox, 43-41, and it's just such a slump for them, too, because the White Sox started off so well this year, but have quickly just teetered off. And then we won't even discuss the Minnesota Twins at 28-55, just horrible. So, still, a lot of baseball left to play. We are approaching, though, that halfway mark, and this is around the point where you want to see signs of life, and you're just not seeing that right now. Again, the Tigers, as I mentioned in the headliner, the Tigers have been outscored 77-24. That's just against the Indians. That's craziness. And they are one loss away. Now, one loss away. If the Tigers do not pull this game off, again, it's underway right now. The Tigers and the Indians, things are tied up at 2-2 in the top of the 4th, courtesy of Ian Kinsler and Cameron Maben. Maben homered, bringing along both Kinsler and himself. If the Tigers do lose this game today, they will match the 1996 team's 0-12 record against the Indians. So what's wrong with this team? You know, what's right with this team is the question I really should ask. What do you think? How do you think this season will pan out for the Tigers? Do they have any shot at making the playoffs? Because for me, the easy target here is the pitching. The relief pitching has not been great. The starting pitching has not been great either, folks. And it's so mind-boggling because through the first 4 games of July, the Tigers staff had a 1.61 ERA. It was actually the best in baseball. And they had a 3-1 record with their lone loss in a game where Daniel Norris strained his oblique. And you look at how everything has panned out, you know, overall this year. You know, the Tigers' ERA was 4th in the American League in June. And the biggest reason was, of course, one man, Michael Fulmer, who had a .61 ERA in his 5 starts. Fulmer, lights out. Love that young kid. He's going to be a star for a long time. But the remaining starters for the Tigers combined for an ERA over 6 for the month of June. Justin Verlander and Jordan Zimmermann, who were great dating back to, April? They posted ERAs of 4.73 and 6.43. Mike Pelfrey posted an ERA of 5.90. Anibal Sanchez, Matt Boyd, and Daniel Norris combined for an ERA of over 7 in their combined efforts. Just ugly. You can't win games like that. You can't win games like that. And especially, you know, just play remotely well, and we could see a different outcome here in the American League Central. Because if you look at the pitching in the American League, it hasn't been great. Overall, bad pitching in the AL, folks. Only two teams have an ERA of under 3.8. Of course, one of those, the Cleveland Indians. No-brainer there. And the overall ERA for every team in the American League is 4.28. If you just have good to average pitching, you could see more wins in the win column for the Tigers. So, again, the Tigers right now, they are 0-11 against the American League Central leading Cleveland Indians. If they lose today, again, they are currently underway. Top of the fourth, 2-2. Whoa, no, excuse me. Breaking news here. Live radio here. Detroit has now taken a one-run lead, 3-2 now against Cleveland. If they do lose this thing, again, it's the bottom of the fourth right now. They will tie and match the 1996 team's 0-12 record against the Indians. And the latest score coming from Upton, he hits a sack fly to center, and V-Mart has just scored for the Tigers. So let's see if they can keep this up. I know many Tigers fans out there are just waiting for that first win over Cleveland, because it's getting ridiculous right now. Call in, folks, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, I want to remind you all that after our first break, we'll be chatting with an Olympian hopeful, Tori Franklin, Michigan State track and field star. She is competing in the Olympic trials in the triple jump out in Eugene, Oregon. The finals, she has made it to the finals. The finals will take place tomorrow. So we will be chatting with Tori on the eve of this huge moment in her track and field career, so you do not want to miss that. But first, before we move forward, I want to invite right now the man behind the glass who is now back from vacation. I know he had a great time out in Washington. And, of course, we want to commend, of course, Seth Kinker for filling in these past 2 weeks here as Isaac has been on vacation. Seth has done a fantastic job for us. He's also behind the glass, too. But I want to invite right now Isaac Constance back to Current Sports. Isaac, how was your holiday break?
It was good. Only 1 week, actually. But, it seems like I'm so replaceable to you, Al. I'm really upset about that. No, it was a great holiday break.
You trained Seth. We talking about numbers.
Yeah, I know that. It's a great holiday break. I love being in D.C. That's a great American city. It really is. And just has everything that's so cool. The culmination of all sorts of different cultures. It's the definition of a melting pot. But, no, I've been keeping up with Detroit sports since I've been gone. And, man, the Tigers. Al, I'm not sure if it's as much what's wrong with the Tigers as what's right with the Indians. I mean, the Tigers have had four straight sweeps right now. Three are wins. I mean, they put away the Marlins. They put away the Tampa Bay Rays. They've done everything they've needed to. The Seattle Mariners, same thing. And it's just the Indians. I mean, what can you say about Cleveland? Jody, who's on the line right now, and I were just talking. Boy, since that championship for the Cavaliers, everything is going right for that city. I mean, it's incredible. You can just put a solid dot on the timeline and say, everything changed. Right. Nothing was the same. And that's what happened. So, yeah, for the Indians, their pitching has been phenomenal. And the Tigers, they just can't get their bats working against the Indians. And you mentioned the pitching, which has been in the dumps for the Tigers for years now. Forget this season, for years. But another problem is they just can't seem to find the proper rotation. It's starters going in and out from the bullpen. It's that final 3, 4, 5 spot for the Tigers, which has been in question this entire year. And, you know, I'm not sure when that problem's going to be solved, especially with Daniel Norris being injured and the Tigers having to call up yet another young prospect, or not even so young, I think. But it's just the same old story for the Tigers. I think they do make the playoffs, actually, with how they've been playing against other teams. But, gosh, I don't know how many more games there are against the Indians. But just keep that on the calendar and check off those days, because it can't come soon enough for the Tigers.
You know, this has been the problem with the Tigers, Isaac. And you mentioned how approaching this Cleveland series, how, you know, they beat the Marlins, they beat the Rays, which they aren't great teams. The Tigers are supposed to beat those teams. They have not beaten the big dogs in the majors. And that's the problem. You know, you're supposed to go out there and handle Miami. You're supposed to go out there and handle Tampa Bay. But when it comes to the formidable teams in the majors, the Tigers just clearly have there's a clear gap between where they need to be and where they currently are. So we'll see how this pans out. And, you know, when looking at this squad and how bad they've been this season when it comes to pitching, I think they're going to make a move before that trade deadline occurs on July 31st. Now, Tigers GM Al Avila has made it known that he is not willing to trade his top prospects, but they have to go outside of the organization to help find help for that rotation. And there have been a few names that have been thrown out here. A's pitchers, Rich Hill and Sonny Gray. It's being rumored that they could be moved at the trade deadline. So look out for those names. Also, you know, you look at, you know, former Tiger Drew Smyly, Jake Odorizzi, and Matt Moore. These are just names that are thrown out there as far as trades happening. I think the Tigers are going to make a move, but you won't see a big name out of the rotation. You won't see a Zimmerman or a Verlander being moved.
No, of course not.
No, you're gonna see some of the lower tier players who have underperformed in the rotation this season moved. Let's go to our phone lines right now. Again, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We've got Jody on line one, as aforementioned by Isaac. How you doing, Jody? Welcome to Current Sports.
How you doing? All right. Happy July to everybody. And as my father used to say, Cleveland strong. Cleveland strong.
They look good in every it's good to be a Cleveland sports fan right about now, Jody.
Yeah, until football season starts. Then he used to say those raggedy Browns.
So enjoy it right now. Enjoy it right now, right?
They've only lost one game, the Indians, I think, since the Cavaliers won, and that was what, Saturday to Toronto. But yeah, man, it was nice going. I went home this past weekend, and it was nice seeing the energy and the positive. And you know, after it was like, man, it was like, you know, the curse had been lifted. You know, 54 years since they had won a title, and you know, that was nice. And that was, you know, I mean, you know, I got my little shirts, and everybody was trying to buy Cleveland shirts. I was in town visiting, you know, but. Shoot, them shirts was all sold out, man. You couldn't find them nowhere. Luckily, my brother had a couple for us, you know. But that was, you know, that's the energy of, like I said, 54 years and not winning a title. I really want to talk about, man, how well Brand has been shooting the ball in the Utah Summer League.
Hasn't he? He has been. Man, I saw Carlton Valentine. He posted an article, the father of Denzel. He posted an article of Bryn Forbes, and it was talking about the numbers he's been throwing up and how efficient he has been shooting. Hey, I mean, maybe the Spurs give this young stud a shot. What you think, Jody?
I think, I know he has his contract is, I guess, guaranteed. You know, he makes his minimum if he makes the team, and mm-hmm. but they did give him a contract, you know, I guess some money if he didn't. But, you know, Bryn is, and also, you know, I looked one game, well, first game he had 8 boards.
Right. How impressive has that been? Yeah.
So, you know, that might have been, you know, a lot of times when you're in a program, and that's no knock to the greatness of our programs, is that sometimes, you know, you aren't able to show everything, you know, because, you know, he wasn't handling the ball too much either, but he was taking the ball from the wing, going to the hole and scoring. And, you know, I know it's summer league, but, hey, come on, we can be excited because it's one of ours doing something, you know.
And, certainly. And so, looking at his numbers, Jody, I mean, right now he's averaging 19.5 points per game in the NBA Summer League. And the other day, he had 23 points on 8 of 10 shooting, 4 of 5 from the three-point range to help the Spurs to beat the 76ers 95-91. So he's been great.
Yeah, he like I say, he had 16 the first night, 23 the second week. You know, we taped them both because a close family friend of ours, Jasper Bibbs, is working with the Utah Jazz out there. So, you know, we try to find, you know, try to stay up to see if we can see Jasper. We're sitting up there like he's playing, but, you know, he's working in another capacity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wanted to give Jasper his shout-out, too, because, you know, just like Brand, just like Dazelle, just like, you know, Didi, just like all the fellas, you know, they put their work in, Costello, you know, and you know, also Brandon Davis is Dawson. I mean, why am I going to call the man the wrong name? Brandon Dawson is playing, you know, with the Clippers in the Summer League down in Orlando. and they'll all probably be in Las Vegas. So yeah, it's a good, you know, it's not my time of the season other than summer league, because you know I'm a, you know, in season football, basketball kind of guy, and I'm not as big a baseball fan as I used to be. But you know, the Indians, and you know, shoot, keep having a, you know, not a tough season but a trying season. You know, the Tigers, I can get down there and watch you, because I can't get tickets to go to the Blue Jays games, man. You know, you can't. You can't
right.
get tickets and
yeah.
the tickets to go see the Raptors, man, sitting at the top of the at the 300 level.
Really?
Is that
$250? Are you kidding me? Oh my goodness!
Yep, they sell. That's, you know, I mean, they and every now and then they will release a couple tickets for something. But yeah, everybody's, you know, selling them bootleg, and they're like $250 to sit at the top of the arena.
Wow, I tell you what, it's a good time to be a Toronto sports fan too, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I mean, because like I say, man, because I was gonna go to the Raptors game, and I told, you know, Mrs., come on, baby, let's take a look, and she went, nah, we ain't gonna do that. Let's go to Niagara Falls. Because we could do everything for the
right.
price of just
you go
what
broke.
She really said is, let's drive to Detroit, because we could sit at the dog one. We could sit the two rows behind the visitor's bench for the same thing that we pay for one ticket to sit in the upper deck.
Well, I tell you what, it's good to see the city of Toronto having the type of success it is in the athletic realms, because it's just good to be in the atmosphere when your sports teams are doing that well. I can only imagine what that's like, Jody.
Yeah, well, see, I was fortunate enough to, you know, to be there when, you know, Michigan State was winning the national championship
right.
with Irvin and Kelsey and them, and then I played on the Big Ten championship football team and the baseball team that won the Big Ten.
Right, right.
So
I remember
you
telling us that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could imagine that 78-79 season, it was happy days are here again. You know, everybody was had their chest out with the green and white on, so I know that feeling, and it's a great one, man.
It is. I wish I had a time machine. I tell you that, Jody.
Yeah, you want to come? Yeah, you want to stay there, because it's getting crazy around here.
I'll stay put. I'll be right here behind the mic.
There you go.
All right,
I
Jody.
Mad. I was impressed with that word, you know, formidable. I was like, oh, okay, look at him, formidable.
That's one of my favorite words. I stole that from Isaac.
That's good, you know.
That's that
All
Michigan
right,
State
man,
education.
You guys have a great day. I
All
just
right.
had to bring some joy. All right, take care.
You got it, Jody. Gotta
All
love
right,
Jody. It's one of my favorite callers, man. And I love, if you don't follow Jody on Facebook, guys, you got to get on that, dude. He posts some very enlightening stuff.
I
tell you that
right now.
Definitely. There we go. All right, folks, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-WKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with a hopeful Olympian. Her name is Tori Franklin, Michigan State track and field star who is competing in the Olympic trials in the triple jump out in Oregon. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And, you know, we just chatted with one of our favorite callers, Jody, from Canada. Jody was on the line, and he talked about the Summer League and how Brim Forbes is completely lighting it up. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, got to remind you all that the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer League is taking place right here in Mid-Michigan. And I know Aim High out in Diamonddale. And the stout incoming freshman class of the Michigan State men's basketball team has been completely putting on a show. But there's one player who has stood out among the rest. His name is Miles Bridges, folks. And, you know, I was texting last night Seth Kinker, current sports production assistant. Seth has another internship, and he has been out there covering the Summer League Pro-Am. And he sent me two videos of Miles Bridges throwing down just redonkulous dunks. And the kid is just out the world, unworldly athletic. It's crazy stuff. I saw one clip where he throws the ball off the backboard, grabs it with one hand, cocks it back, and then just slams it. His head is almost like eye level with the rim. I'm looking forward to seeing this young man play tomorrow. I'll be in the house for the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. We'll be out there with a camera, so hopefully he can dazzle the current sports cameras that we can bring that to you via our website at WKAR.org. But check it out every Tuesday and Thursday, the Moneyball Pro-Am, Summer League Pro-Am. We will be covering that throughout the summer, so you do not want to miss that. All right, folks. Well, let's get to our guest for today's current sports. She's one of my faves. We actually share the same birthday. How about that? Shout out to all the Libras out there. October 7th, baby. But Tori Franklin, she's been a part of our airwaves multiple times in the past. And, you know, I had to get her on this week because tomorrow will arguably be the biggest day of her track and field career. Of course, she's a Michigan State track and field star who is currently competing in the Olympic trials in the triple jump out in Eugene, Oregon. She's made it to the finals, and the finals will take place tomorrow. She was gracious enough to share a bit of her time right now, live on our airwaves. Tori Franklin, welcome to Current Sports. Tori, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Always good hearing from you, Tori. Now, I first off want to talk about this Olympic endeavor that you are right in the middle of right now. When did the Olympic training process begin, and when did the thought of the Rio de Janeiro Olympics enter your mind that it was a goal that you wanted to pursue?
Actually, I got invited to the 2012 Olympic trials. So after being at that meet, of course I wasn't expected to make the team that time. It was just for experience. But as soon as that meet was over, I knew that this 2016 meet was one that I wanted to pursue seriously. So for all 4 years, I've had Rio 2016 written on my whiteboards and my notebooks going through college. It was my phone background for all 4 years. It's been something that I wanted to do for a long time.
What was that reaction back in 2012 when you got that first invite to go to the Olympic trials?
I knew it was a big deal, but I was really nonchalant. I was just like, oh, sweet, I get to go. I was really just more excited to watch the other athletes than to compete myself, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what it was about more 4 years ago.
So 4 years ago, when you went there and competed in that event, Tori, stacking your talent against the talent that you saw and evaluating that talent, how well did you do in comparison to the others?
I'm not exactly sure. I know I didn't make finals. And for myself personally, I didn't compete well. I didn't jump as well as I know I could have. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do very well overall.
Well, you've been invited back, of course, and you are mm-hmm. now competing in the finals. Now, I don't want to talk about what's going to go down tomorrow just yet. Can you take us through the specifics of the training process leading up to this moment? What has the training been like for you over these past few years to compete at this level, to become an Olympic hopeful? Because I can only imagine, it's got to be a stringent one.
Mm-hmm. Over the 4 years, our training has actually varied. I've gotten more focused as the years went on. So I would do extra like abs and things like that, but more important, I think what made the difference was the weight room, getting stronger and being more focused in there and not just lifting just to get the lift done, you know, lifting for purpose. Mm-hmm. Also, changing my eating habits, not eating cake with every meal was important.
That's a good thing, right?
So, yeah.
So what
really,
is
it came down to the details, I feel like.
So what is your diet like?
My diet. I eat mostly lean meats like chicken and turkey. I eat salads. I try not to eat bread. That's hard. I try not to eat bread. Mm-hmm. And sugars, I keep that to a minimum. Even in like the drinks that I drink, I try not to drink too much. Mm-hmm. Lemonade with a lot of sugar and things like that. Yeah.
So, Tori, going back to that first invite in 2012, what did you know you had to get better at if you wanted to become an Olympian? How far was that gap between where you were and where you currently are now?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it, the biggest difference is maturity. knowing that I can compete with the best and that I have what it takes and that I've been working my butt off for all four of these years to accomplish these goals that I've had set for myself.
Yeah. Well, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Tori Franklin, Michigan State track and field star, who is competing in the Olympic trials in the triple jump out in Eugene, Oregon. The finals will take place tomorrow. Tori, is this a bit mind-boggling for you to make it to the finals? And is it a bit overwhelming when you think about becoming a possible Olympian? Or have you not even allowed yourself to think that far ahead?
I think coming up, like the few weeks before getting to Oregon, it got a little overwhelming because it was coming up, you know. But since I've been here, I've been really calm and confident. And so it's not crazy that I made finals. I knew I could make finals. Mm-hmm. So I've just been pretty chill.
Now, the process of the Olympic trials, Tori, how do you get invited out there?
You have to make top 24, I believe, and you have to declare, register, and all that, and they decide who gets in. There's a standard that you have to make. Some people get in below that standard if they want to fill more spots.
Okay, so some get lucky and get in based on that.
Yep.
Now, making it to the finals, which take place tomorrow, when the numbers are said and done, who gets invited to Rio? Where do you have to place?
First of all, you have to have the standard. Even if you place top three, you still can't go if you don't have the Olympic standard.
So what is the Olympic standard?
46.5.
Evaluating your numbers up to this point, how close are you to that standard?
With my official personal record, I'm about a foot and a half behind.
Mm-hmm.
But I've jumped farther than my official PR, so I know that it's possible for me to get it.
So the way it works, the top three have the shot at making it to Rio, but if they fall short of the Olympic standard, it's possible that the top three don't even get invited if they don't place in that Olympic standard.
Exactly.
Wow. Does that make you nervous at all, Tori, when you think about that? I mean, there is a slim margin for error here. What's the emotions like when you think about that?
I think it makes me more excited than nervous because I'm out here competing for me. You know, it's different when you have a school name on your chest, and I don't know. I just feel like it's different, and so I'm just out there doing the best I can for myself and just leaving it all out on the track. You know, I'm competing, you know, for me and God. That's it.
Gotta love that. Preach on. What's the mentality for you? How do you stay cool, calm, and collected? Because, you know, you seem very at ease right now. The calm before the storm, Tori. How do you stay cool, calm, and collected leading up to that day? And how do you keep your emotions in check before you compete tomorrow?
I guess I try not to think too much about the meet. I'll set aside a certain time throughout each day when I will sit and visualize, think about how I want to compete, what type of attitude I want to go into the meet with. But then once I'm done doing that, then I just relax, watch TV, eat good food, you know, just try not to be too deep into that before it's time to be, because otherwise you'll just exhaust yourself mentally.
So true. Now, I know, Tori, there are many of your family members and friends tuned in right now. They're adding me, Isaac, they're adding me as we speak right now on Facebook as we live stream the show. Hello to Tori's family out there. They're listening right now. And I've seen on your social media post, Tori, before I reached out to you to get on today's show, I saw you with a few of your family members out there and friends out there. What has their support meant to you that have directly had a correlation to your success on the track and field?
Yeah, it means the world. I wouldn't have been able to make it through this season without my mom and my grandma and all of my friends and family, honestly, because my mom, she books all of my flights. My grandma works the GoFundMe. You know, my friends and family donate to that so I can get to all of these meets. So none of it would be possible without them.
Now, that's an interesting point there. So you're telling me, Tori, that even though you've been invited out to the Olympic trials, they don't pay for you to get out there?
Nope.
Are you kidding me? That blows my mind. So
if if you make the finals, USATF will give a refund of your travels to the meet.
Mm-hmm.
But if I hadn't made finals, then that just would have been money spent.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, and that's the world of track and field, though, because I know that you have to have sponsors to even make a living off of the sport, you know, and it's so tough. It's such a grind because the amount of time and effort that you put in, Tori, does not have direct payoffs when it comes to your wallet. How discouraging is that for other athletes that you talk about, not just yourself, but other athletes you talk to at these meets? I mean, you guys are ideally just doing it for the love of it.
Yes, really. That's what track and field. That's why it's surviving, because the athletes love it. And because there is some support, you know, of other fans that love it. Obviously, here in Oregon, there's a lot. But I know a lot of athletes that work full-time jobs and have to practice during their lunch hour and then lift when they get off at night. It's hard for some athletes.
Does that irk you? That's got to irk you, Tori.
Of course it does, yeah.
What keeps you going?
Faith that this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
I love it. Love that mentality. Again, folks, we are chatting with Olympic hopeful Tori Franklin of the Michigan State track and field team, competing in the Olympic trials in the triple jump. And I know that's what you specialized in at Michigan State. And am I correct? Because, Tori, I know you finished up and I saw you that you graduated. You're done competing at Michigan State, right?
Yep, all done.
That's all finito now. And you specialize in jumps, I know. And the triple jump was your thing here at Michigan State.
Yep.
Is it a failure if you don't book a ticket to Rio?
Not at all. First of all, this is my first year out of college. So there's still a lot of adjusting to do to training and having to work and book my own meets. It's a lot harder than it was in college. So the fact that I've even made finals, I'm proud of myself because this is farther than I got 4 years ago. So whatever happens tomorrow, I'm going to be happy with, as long as I put everything up that I have out on the track.
And you know, it's so cool because there's another member of the MSU track and field team who had just an illustrious career when she was here. Michigan State's Leah O'Connor is also closer to qualifying for the Summer Olympics. She finished second in the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase. What's that Michigan State support like? Do you talk to, you know, maybe Walt Drenth or any other coaches here at Michigan State throughout this process? Have you reached out to Leah or other members of the Spartan family? Do you guys support each other during this time? It's got to be a bond that really comes to fruition during this critical moment in your career, Tori.
Of course. There's five Spartans here, I believe, or six, including Tim Earhart. And I believe, Katie's here, Katie Landwehr, Nicole Bush, Leah O'Connor, and Caitlin Daniels was here for the weight throw, or distance. And all of us made finals. So it's awesome that Spartans are doing so well here.
What are those conversations like among you all as you compete out there?
Just wishing each other good luck and good vibes, positive attitude.
Absolutely love that. I tell you, Tori Franklin, she is cooler than the other side of the pillow. Rest in peace, Tori Scott. All right, before we get you out of here, Tori, we've also had this conversation multiple times on the air leading up to the Olympics that, of course, are occurring this summer. The Zika virus is a huge topic right now, and we've seen countless athletes come out and say, you know what, I don't want to risk my health. I don't want to go out there because the Zika virus is pretty affluent out there, out in Rio, and I'm not going to compete. Are you nervous about the Zika virus? Because I know, particularly for young women, I mean, it could lead to birth defects for pregnancies later on down the line. Have you thought about that at all?
I have, but not deeply. I think I would still go if I were to make the team and just take every precaution that's possible.
Right. I mean, you've worked so long for this moment. You're not letting that stop you, are you?
Right, yeah.
Absolutely love that. Well, I'll tell you what, Tori, again, the finals are tomorrow. How can our listeners out there view that? That will be televised, I'm assuming, right?
Mm-hmm. On NBC at 30 Pacific time, I believe.
Okay. Well, we'll be sure to put it on our Facebook page. We'll be tuning in. We'll be rooting for you. Again, Tori Franklin, Michigan State track and field star, competing in the Olympic trials and the triple jump. Tori, wishing you luck. Yeah. Wishing you luck, all right?
All right, thank you.
Gotta love that. You know, that really irks me, Isaac. I mean, it's so amazing how you watch these Olympic athletes every 4 years in the Summer Olympics. And I love watching track and field. I mean, it's some of my favorite events come from that realm of the Summer Olympics. And I love the swimming as well with Michael Phelps and so on and so forth. But for these track and field athletes, they put years, literally years, 4 years of work into this one moment. And as far as the financial payoff, there really is none unless you market yourself and you get sponsors and you're on commercials. But after the Olympics, it's hard to tread water and make it as an athlete and pay the rent just based off of that. That's why you see a lot of athletes out there, a lot of track and field athletes, after they're said and done, if they're not like Usain Bolt, they're working a full-time job somewhere after they have taken home or placed, you know, gold, bronze, or silver. It's crazy, though.
No, I mean, you say it's not a big reward. It's an expenditure. I mean, they've got to pay their own way to get to Colorado Springs for the Olympic trials and all of that. And then you get reimbursed if you make the Olympics, which seems a little bit illogical considering that if you make the Olympics, that's the sign that you're where you need to be. But simply getting an invite is enough to merit, we'll pay for you to come over for the chance that you'll represent our country. Once you make the Olympics, not to say you've made it, but you've accomplished something great. And from that point, you should be able to make it. But the only reason the U.S. fares so well time and time, year and year again, during the Olympics is because so many great athletes push each other to new extremes. If you don't have every single person coming to compete, you wouldn't see the times logged in track and field. You wouldn't see the records broken. No, I mean, there are enough donations where they should be paid at least to go and visit the facility to try out.
I totally agree, especially when you look at like a Michigan State. You know, the student athletes don't have to pay to go out and compete at another school. You know what I mean? We're talking about the Olympics here.
Exactly.
The Olympic trials, for goodness sake. Yet, Tori Franklin has to go and put up a GoFundMe page to help her financially to get out there. That's nuts.
Well, and I wonder how much guys on the basketball team for the U.S. are getting paid. Because that isn't as big of an Olympic event as people make it out to be. I mean, nobody across the world really cares about basketball. Track is one of the biggest ones.
And it is.
You know that those basketball players aren't paying out of their own pocket.
Yeah, this isn't the dream team we're talking about from the
exactly.
90s, right? All right, let's hit a brief second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by chatting about a former Detroit Piston who is having the back of Kevin Durant and that move to the Golden State Warriors. That and more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have 5 minutes left here in the show. Isaac, I want to give you the floor briefly here because I know that you have been dying. You have been foaming at the mouth to weigh in on the topic of Kevin Durant moving to the Golden State Warriors. We spent our entire hour yesterday talking about it. We had Deshaun Tate on from the game 92.9 CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He was on the show yesterday, and Deshaun and I, we had a great banter back and forth about that. Definitely you have to tune into that one, Isaac. You missed a pretty interesting debate on the show yesterday. But thoughts on Kevin Durant to the Warriors? I know you haven't weighed in on it yet.
I heard you ranting, and I couldn't agree more. This is a sad day for basketball where the best team ever, arguably, the best regular season team ever, inarguably, gets one of the top five players in the game. Kevin Durant, I'm sorry, where's your competitive spirit? Where is the part of you that stays loyal to a team? I'm not asking for you to stick with the Thunder. It would be nice. It would be a good gesture. But go to the Wizards. Help out your hometown, Washington, D.C. It's a great city, too. I can tell you from personal experience, I would not mind living there. Go to the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics, rebuilding. They've got a nice project going. When you go to a team like the Golden State Warriors, that says you're weak. You do not have what it takes to win a finals by yourself. You were one game away from it. If you would have hit maybe two more threes, you might win that finals. But no, I mean, somebody else needs to hit those two more threes for you, and that man is Steph Curry. That man is Klay Thompson. That man is Draymond Green. Kevin Durant just was a disgrace to basketball with his decision. This is by far the worst decision a superstar has ever made for that well-being of the game, even worse than LeBron James going to Miami, and I don't think the two are even comparable.
I don't think they're comparable either. I totally echo your sentiments on that one, Isaac. I think that when you evaluate this move, this was just Kevin Durant riding the gravy train to an NBA championship. It's simple. That's what it was. You know, he's a former MVP and scoring champ, leaving his team after 9 years in the prime of his career to join two-time defending Western Conference champion Golden State Warriors, who just set a regular season record for wins and was a win away from winning back-to-back NBA championships. I mean, that's craziness to me. So you would think that Isaiah Thomas, who grew up in that era, who played in that era, I should say, of ultra-competitive guys who didn't like each other on the court, it was a I'm-going-to-beat-you mentality, you would think that Zeke would side with us. In fact, it's quite the opposite, Isaac. I was pretty shocked when I read this. This is what Isaiah Thomas had to say concerning the move of Kevin Durant to the Warriors. Quote, "To have the opportunity to potentially see a team like this play in the NBA, this type of talent, this type of firepower, I think it's going to truly be exciting. They are definitely going to be must-see TV. I believe in dominance. A team like this can make the game better if it makes everyone else reach for another level of excellence. I would never have left Detroit, but if Larry Bird or Michael Jordan would have came to the Pistons, I would have welcomed them with open arms." That's an interesting comment because you all know about the relationship between MJ and Zeke. He then goes on to say, quote, "Let's be real. At the end of the day, when you are trying to win a championship, you are trying to make the opponent weaker," end quote. So I was very shocked that Isaiah Thomas made that comment because he comes from that rock'em sock'em era of I don't like you, you don't like me. So with that, we bid you all adieu on today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Tori Franklin, Seth Kinker, Isaac Constance. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same place, same time. Be easy, people.